Bill DeYoung here, and welcome back to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. In the mission statement of Creative Pinellas, you'll find this. The mission is to foster and sustain a vibrant, inclusive, and collaborative arts community across Pinellas County. My guest today is Margaret Murray, who is the brand new Chief Executive Officer of Creative Pinellas. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are new to the job, just a month maybe?
Starting my third week today.
And so how's it been so far?
It has been absolutely amazing. My first day, I was so excited. I came into work early and I heard all of these voices and I recognized some of the voices, and then I realized it was a panel discussion determining how Creative Pinellas was going to award $110,000 to artists. And honestly, I just thought, this is where I want to be.
Day one.
Yeah. What a way to start your new job.
So you have a master's in what, arts administration from SCAD?
Yes.
That, folks, is the Savannah College of Art and Design. Why arts administration?
I realize that my future, I've always worked in the arts. I think I've had one non-arts related job in my entire career, and that was working for an animal rights organization. So it has always been the arts for me. And I realized that if I wanted to grow as a professional and really impact artists and arts organizations, that I needed to have that professional foundation.
Why is that important to you? You know, I ask people this sometimes, the idea of, I want to help others, you know, and in a creative field, which I think is brilliant. But why?
It's in my DNA. It always has been. And it is one of the things that, I'm not a singer. I'm not a performer. I remember the heartbreaking moment that I found that out in fourth grade chorus.
Yeah, I was a little older, but I found out too. Yeah.
And then it has always been the arts for me. I remember asking my parents what a TV producer was when I was maybe 7 years old. So it's always been that kind of background scene that has interested me the most.
Yeah.
And realizing how underfunded the arts can be and how strapped everyone is, it's a strength that I have, and I want to make sure that it has as much impact as possible.
Well, let's talk about Creative Pinellas. You know, simplistically, in a journalistic sense, I usually just refer to it as, you know, an umbrella arts support organization. But that's simplistic. So let's talk to me about what Creative Pinellas is and what it does.
Okay. Yeah. Well, our official designation is a local arts agency, and there are hundreds of them across the United States. And what we do is we fund artists, we collaborate with the Pinellas County government, Visit St. Pete Clearwater, CVB, all of these organizations to make sure that we can fund and support and elevate arts, the arts and arts organizations and artists throughout the county. And it could be anything. It could be a grant. It could be funding a summer camp program. It could be offering resources for artists. It can be, another thing that we do is we offer spaces for exhibitions. We have a beautiful gallery that's housed in a former museum.
As opposed to, say, the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, you're countywide. Exactly. So this, you've got a wide, what's the word, a wide palette,
yes.
Okay, to use an artistic word, of things to do. You know, government, because local government and state government too, and obviously national government, I mean, they do realize that the arts is a real economic boon, you know, that it has a tremendous impact. I mean, do you find that they're more than willing to sort of help, to pony up?
They are. It has been astonishing to see. And so often the arts are, they build organically, and I think that is what happened here. And we look at all of these different examples, and not just going back 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, but the arts in St. Pete has, or in Pinellas County, has always been organic. I think of Tom at Beaux Arts in Pinellas Park. I mean, that was a fledgling art scene, and now people are understanding that it plays a role in mental health, it plays a role in economic development, it plays a role in enticing tourists to stay here and extend their visits here. The arts are at the middle of the Venn diagram for a lot of things that are great about Pinellas County.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned Tom Reese and the Beaux Arts. I mean, I guess we're probably of a similar generation.
Yeah.
First place I ever got up with a guitar and sang Neil Young songs was at the old Beaux Arts in Pinellas Park. And I think they should erect a statue to that guy.
I really do.
Because that was the first art gallery in Pinellas County, was Beaux Arts in 1955 or something.
Right.
And anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, folks, there's a story about Beaux Arts and Tom Reese on the St. Pete Catalyst website. It's a vintage Pinellas story. Let's talk about your background. You are a Floridian.
Yes, I grew up in St. Petersburg. My grandparents owned a liquor store on 4th Street and Central Avenue.
What was it called?
The Annex, because it was adjacent to Liggett's Drugstore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Liggett's Rexall, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Yep. See, I grew up in St. Petersburg, too. Okay. Where'd you go to high school and all that around here?
I went to Lakewood and actually Pinellas Park, speaking of Beaux Arts.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So it was always arts for you once you figured out you couldn't sing. You have a degree in geography?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why? You know, there's that question again. Why?
The world interests me immensely. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge traveler. I've traveled all over the world. And again, it was this way of understanding what drives processes in the world.
Yeah.
My focus was in cultural geography. And I remember my professor at the time, she said, do not get a degree in GIS, Geographic Information Systems. Because if you do, you'll be stuck behind a desk working on a computer your entire career. And she said, that's not who you are. You are more interested in how the world operates and how people operate within the world.
Were you already thinking about, I'm going to go ahead and go for the master's in arts administration? Was that was looming already? I'm going to do that once I finish the your bachelor's?
Absolutely not. I thought I was going to be a geographer. I thought I was going to be traveling the world, giving out malaria shots and dictating policy. But I kept finding myself drawn to the arts, drawn more and more to the arts. And
right.
Every job I had was in the arts. And then I thought, this is how, if I can build a solid foundation as an administrator and an expert in the arts, I can really impact people that way.
You were in the music industry. This is the thing I find so fascinating about reading your bio, that you work for Knitting Factory Records.
Yes.
Fela Ransom Kuti. And you were in New York and then in Europe. You're in Amsterdam.
Yes.
That's fascinating to me. Tell me, where does that come in your timeline and why?
So I was living in New York, working for the Knitting Factory record label. And for those of you who aren't aware of the Knitting Factory, it is this amazing avant-garde record label.
Yeah.
Does incredible work with jazz artists. We worked with people from Sonic Youth. It was just this melting pot of artists. And there was a venue there. So I realized, as much I loved it, but I realized that my world in New York was the Knitting Factory and our partner. So I'd go to Mercury Lounge. All I did was listen to bands. And I realized that there's more. I'm not taking advantage of New York the way I should. And then so I started to think about moving, and then told my boss, I got a job in Chicago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my boss I was leaving. And he said, well, you know what? Would you like to go to Amsterdam and run our office there instead?
Yeah, I think I'd like to do that.
I'll do that. So I went, and we have a lot of artists who tour throughout Europe, and that was something I never explored. So I booked bands at venues throughout Europe, developed relationships with record distributors, record labels, all throughout Europe, and it was a game-changing opportunity for me. Mm. I will forever be grateful to my boss for that.
You ended up back in Florida, I think. Is that what comes next?
Yes.
Or I've tried to remember the timeline here. I'm shooting the moon.
Right.
You did the work with the Jack Kerouac tour and things like that. You worked for the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival's director for how many years?
Off and on. I worked there twice.
Uh-huh.
When I came back, I started. Oh my gosh, I bounce around a lot, but I'm I'm settled now. I'm settled
you hear,
now.
You hear that, guys? Yes.
So I think it was the late 1990s, early 2000s that I worked as the director of the Tampa Gay and Lesbian Film Festival.
Yeah, and that's really an amazing festival, too. I mean, it's just happened and amazing stuff there every year. I write about it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
What is 1 in 10? I just wrote that down here. I wrote down the words 1 in 10, and I can't remember what that is. So tell me.
1 in 10 is the parent corporation for the Real Affirmations Gay and Lesbian Film Festival in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so I was the director
there. So that was before you came back here?
No, so again, I got bored with St. Petersburg and Florida, decided to move, so I moved to Washington, D.C. to become the executive director of that film festival.
Yeah.
Was there for 5 years working on that film festival, working for a nonprofit animal rights organization.
So what? So did you come back to Florida to work for TIGLIF? I mean, is that why you came back?
I really missed. I missed St. Pete. I missed my family. My daughter was here. All of my friends were here. And what has happened throughout my life is that I get a little bit bored, and I think I've got to explore something else. There are more opportunities out there, and then I see everything booming and popping here, so I come back, and then a few years later, I'm like, wait a minute, there's got to be something. I'm very driven.
I can see this. Yeah.
But this time, when I came back, it stuck, because things were happening. The vision I had for the arts in Pinellas County, it was happening. There were things all over the county.
And you wanted to be a part of that.
I wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah. Do you still have family here?
I do.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. 2015, you turn up on my radar at the Museum of Fine Arts St. Petersburg. What was your, when you went there, what did you start as? Were you a janitor? pouring coffee? I don't know.
I was the donor development manager. And this is, again, going back to making sure that I can positively impact the arts. When I was in Washington, D.C., as the executive director, it was at a time when film festivals, and gay and lesbian film festivals in particular, were struggling. Streaming services were becoming popular, so that was cutting into a lot of our audiences. And fundraising became more and more important, and I was not a good fundraiser. I was not. So I took a job as a fundraiser, just so that I could get my feet wet and learn everything I could.
You know, John Collins used to tell me, you know, who just sort of just left town, that, you know, he loved everything about his work except fundraising.
Right.
So this is the part that's like pulling teeth for me. You know, I think the artistic, creative people who think in that sort of mindset and that process, you know, it's like, it's a little bit like glad-handing and, you know, can I, you know, he told me the people used to say, oh, God, here comes John, hide your checkbook.
Right.
You know, so you did that at MFA, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And one of the things that, one of the most profound lessons I learned as a professional fundraiser, and I go back to this all the time, I know how good it feels to give money. I wrote a check yesterday, and I just want to give, that's what I see fundraising as, is giving people the opportunity to feel good like that.
So you, did you, is that a skill that you learned? Did that work out?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And did you sort of move up the ladder? I mean, did you go right to being director of public programs and community engagement, or were there other steps along the way?
There were steps along the way. Yeah. I think that early on, the leadership at the museum recognized that while I was good at fundraising, I was really good at building collaborations and partnerships and, you know, coming up with these ideas for ways to get the museum out into the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved into that track.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the Picture of Health initiative. This is something that's very important to you.
It really is. So during the pandemic, we were, you know, there were so many conversations about museums are shutting down, museums are laying people off. And, but, you know, in the museum world, we're saying museums are vital. You can't shut us down. You can't do this. The arts are important.
Yeah.
And I had plenty of time to sit at home and think about my life. And I started thinking, how are the arts important? Truly, let's unpack this. How can the arts help people in this moment? So I started thinking, and I had done a year-long research project on working with the Alzheimer's communities in art settings. So I took, and I knew that we weren't going to be able to continue that. That was too vulnerable a population to bring back to the museum in any time, in any short period of time. So I started thinking, how could I use that research to help people in this moment, in this pandemic moment? So the first thing we did is I created a program called Sit, Stay, Heal, H-E-A-L, where we brought therapy dogs into the museum. And this was at a time when therapy dogs could not go anywhere. And then we allowed frontline workers free of charge to come in because they were under such duress, and gave them an opportunity to just chill, walk through an empty museum, and have these interactions with therapy dogs. And it was amazing. It was so wonderful to see. And then from there, I started thinking about other ways. So we ended up allowing physicians to write prescriptions for visits to the museum. And then we created these healing tours that people could take throughout the museum.
Tell me about the Bartle Foundation.
This is an organization in Philadelphia that is doing amazing work in mental health and helping educators create trauma-informed practices for any audience who they may be interacting with. And I was fortunate to be able to go through training with them. And that really helped shape some of the work we did with Picture of Health, but also with the staff at the museum. And that foundation has carried over into everything I've done since then.
Our guest today is Margaret Murray, who is the actually brand new CEO of Creative Panels, replacing Barbara St. Clair, God love her, who retired at the end of last year. We are talking about all things Creative Panelists and all things Margaret's journey.
One of the overarching visions I have for Creative Panelists involves looking in, diving into the nitty-gritty of what we have done and what we are doing. So, for example, I'm asking our team to audit all of the grants we have given over the last few years because I want to see if there are places we're lacking. Are we overly representing visual artists and not paying attention to the performing arts, which is such a huge and vibrant part of Pinellas County culture? So that is some work that I'm incredibly excited about, and seeing how what the if there are any imbalances, there may not be. There may not be, but those are the things that if I can't measure it, I can't fix it, and I can't act upon it. So those are the things I'm tasking the Creative Pinellas team with.
You know, I know a lot of people in the performing arts, and I think that that's, and you've heard this, that this is not a lot of attention paid because it's all about visual arts in this town. You've heard this as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's probably something that, you know, a lot of people would say, okay, great, show us. That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Right, and I think that there are opportunities not only on the Creative Pinellas campus, but throughout the county. We have one of the most amazing, if you will, canvases in the world. I mean, 15 million visitors come to visit our beaches, our waterways, our greenways, our galleries. There is a way to bring the arts out into all of those beautiful, unexplored places, and I'm really eager to start looking at how we can do that.
That's your collaborative thing, isn't it? That's what you know, that's Margaret's thing.
That's my collaboration and my geography thing.
What I think is beautiful is that in essentially this is your hometown. You told me before you weren't quite born here, but you grew up here from a very young age, and this is giving back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is making sure that I do everything I can to positively impact the county while I'm here.
What does 2024 look like for Creative Pinellas? What are you thinking about?
It's funny. I was considering this last night. I think I'm on two tracks here. First is making sure that the needs of our team, of the Creative Pinellas campus, of our county partners, of our tourism partners, making sure that those immediate needs are met and that I understand what makes Creative Pinellas tick. And then the second track is my overarching vision for Creative Pinellas, which I am cautioning myself to be patient with and advising patience with everyone else who are eager to see how Creative Pinellas moves into its next phase.
Yeah.
I really want us to be strategic and thoughtful in how we envision a future for Creative Pinellas.
Well, you pretty much hit the ground running when you got here. I don't know, were there things to fix? Were there like, well, let's plug this hole? Or is it just, we're just moving forward now?
Well, I had been freelancing for Creative Pinellas for about 6 months prior to that, working on the cultural plan.
Yeah.
And the cultural plan is the first comprehensive look at the cultural landscape of Pinellas County in almost 20 years. And this cultural plan is going to shape a lot of the work that Creative Pinellas does in the next few years. And it's really going to shape the role that Creative Pinellas plays in making sure that the arts are impacting positively as many people and communities and organizations as possible.
Tell me about the gallery, by the way. I think a lot of folks, maybe not a lot of folks, but certainly some folks haven't been up there on Walsingham Road to see the gallery at Creative Pinellas. This is something very special because you do events there and you have very specific exhibitions there, which a lot of arts organizations probably don't have that kind of a home base. Talk to me about the gallery and how often do those things repeat? Do you bring in incomings? This is all local artists, I think.
Yes. So it's not only the gallery. We have an entire campus there that is so amazing. We are part of the Pinewood Cultural Park. So we are on the grounds of the Florida Botanical Gardens. And walking right outside my front door are the Botanical Gardens. So that is number one, an amazing partner with us. And then Pinellas Heritage Village is on this campus as well. But our gallery used to be the Gulf Coast Museum of Art. So this is a gallery that was designed to showcase art in a museum setting, and we are incredibly fortunate to have that. We have an upcoming exhibition called Nature Picks by the digital artist Mikhail Manchin. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're bringing all of that together. So he is looking at the natural elements outside of the gallery space. So he's putting sensors, wind, moisture, and movement sensors outside of the gallery that will feed back into light installations inside the gallery.
I think Mikhail is brilliant. He sat in that very chair talking about this kind of stuff. I don't know how his mind works.
Me either.
Absolutely brilliant. When is that happening?
It opens February 22nd.
Oh, brilliant. Going right on my calendar. Our guest today has been Margaret Murray, who is the CEO of Creative Pinellas. You can go to creativepinellas.org and kind of see what they're up to. It's multifaceted, and as is Margaret, who's had an amazing career. And I just want to say thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. This has been a pleasure.